Hey, this is Daryl Evans. Your passion for Jesus will be inspiring to others, so keep listening to today's Modern Worship on WMIE 91.5 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today on this Wednesday, hump day already. Thank God we're halfway through this week already. Got a wonderful super moon that's going to be out there tonight at sundown, and should be another great sight. Thanks for joining us here on the radio today. This is WGOD. We're tuning into God's frequency here today. God is always broadcasting. He's got a word for you today. Always has a word for you. Always. If you go to where he speaks, and that is in his word. We're going to be in Romans chapter 5. This sermon is entitled Jesus and Adam. This is the sermon I just preached on Sundays, past Sunday. We're going through the book of Romans for the most part, verse by verse, and we're up to now, the Apostle Paul comparing Jesus and Adam. In another place, I think it's 1 Corinthians 15, he compares the first Adam with the last Adam, and says the last Adam, speaking of the Lord, became a life-giving spirit. So that's where we're at here today. He's going to compare, well, he's going to show us first how sin entered the world and everyone died because everyone inherited Adam's sin nature. And, you know, the Bible says death passed from Adam to Moses, even over those that didn't sin, like the transgression of Adam. So that shows us why innocent bystanders die, why children die, and why there's death in the human race. But that's not the end of the story. Enter in the Son of God, the life-giving Spirit, who wants to make an exchange with you today on this Wednesday. He wants to exchange your sins for his greatness. That's where we're going to be here today. Part one, this is today. This will wrap up tomorrow. We have service tonight at 6 o'clock. We will be in the fifth chapter of the book of Galatians. You are invited. We'd love to see you here in Galatians chapter 5. 6 o'clock, Island Community Church, 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. I invite you guys to come to church on a Wednesday night. Study the Word of God with us. I guarantee you, you'll leave feeling better than when you get there. If you're unable to attend, you can join us live on our Facebook feed, Island Community Church. The Facebook feed will turn on live at 6 o'clock. So I invite you to take part in our Bible study here tonight. Stop by on Sunday and worship here at Island Community Church if you're new to the area or if you're looking for a new church home. My sermon this week is entitled, Have You Died Yet? We're in Romans chapter 6 this Sunday morning. Okay, here we go. This is part one of Jesus and Adam. Okay, does everyone have a handout? If you need one of these, it's in the bulletin. Verses are on the handout for the most part. Raise your hand if you need one of these. Everyone's good. Are we rolling, Dwayne? What an excellent slide. Jesus and Adam. Now, we're in Romans chapter 5. And some of chapter 6. Let's pray first before we get started. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for Sunday. Thank you that out of 168 hours in the week, we've got everyone here together for one of those hours out of 168. Please do a great work here this morning. receive our worship, fellowship with us. I pray for everyone here in this house here today. I pray for everyone that's going to be listening and on the radio, those that are going to watch on YouTube. I pray you do a great work in them as well. We listen for your voice here this morning. Speak to us through your word. May the power to change be present today as well. We listen for your voice. Reveal yourself to us today and help show us what to do today as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. First, a bit about last Sunday. You know, sometimes, it doesn't happen very often, but sometimes revelation from God comes to me directly as I'm preaching. That happened last Sunday when I was talking about this verse in Romans chapter 5, verse 3, where the Apostle Paul says, he says, not only this, but we boast in our afflictions, knowing that affliction brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And I made the comment last week that certain affliction, like a serious trial or a life-threatening situations, produced endurance. But I learned last week, even on the fly while I was preaching, that all different kinds of afflictions produce endurance. Not just the life-threatening ones, but all types of afflictions can produce the osmosis that's required for God to transform you into a spiritual giant. Especially health. Right, Twain? Health. Trusting in God when you're sick and when you're going through something. And when God delivers you through that, that produces an osmosis in you. That you know that God's got your back. And you got this keen realization that God is for you. So it's not just life-threatening. A great financial difficulty can produce endurance. That's what I was saying last week at the radio station I worked at the time in Stewart. We needed $65,000 in a day. One day. This was December 31st. That day, a woman showed up, rang the doorbell, and handed me a check for $65,000. And she said, I don't know why. That's the MO, you know? You know, I don't understand it. I don't know why. But the Lord led me to give you this check, handed me a check made out to WCNO for $65,000. Now, this affliction, in this case it was money, but it produced in me the osmosis produced in me that never again was I going to fear having a shortcome of money. Because God has established himself as faithful. Now there's a million other things I'll fall short of next time around. I'm not perfect, but I'm not going to doubt him when it comes to money again. Because God has established himself. Now some people in this church have been healed of sickness, some serious sickness. Some, we walked into my office and we shut the door. And they left healed. And they're not going to doubt the next time around they're going through something like that because God has established himself as faithful. So, when you trust in God and commit your ways to him, when you're in the midst of it. Peter wrote, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. And God will use storms in your life deliberately to make you the man and the woman that he wants you to be. It's always storms that he uses, seems to be. It's like it's never easy. I wish it was. Now let's move forward here in the book of Romans. Let's start where we left off here. Chapter 5, We're going to pick it up in verse 12. If you don't have a Bible, these verses are on the handout. If anyone in here needs a Bible after the service, let me know. I've got some. I'll be glad to give you one. Be glad to gift you a Bible. Speaking of gift, that's the subject heading, is the gift of righteousness in Christ. Now, Romans chapter 5, let's pick it up here in verse 12. He says, therefore, as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men. Meaning they're all people, because all have sinned. Sounds like COVID, doesn't it? And the one man being who? Church family? Adam. Verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed. That is, sin is not held against you. Sin is not imputed when there is no law. Meaning, other than death, there's no penalty for something until God says, don't do that. That's what we read as we take as the law. Don't do that. When the commandment comes, then comes the penalty for doing it. Like when God said to Adam, see, Eve was not created yet. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. It says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree in the garden you can freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, here it comes, you shall not eat. For in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. Now there's the commandment. And God rules. He's the supreme Almighty of the universe. He and he alone is the one who tells us how it's going to be, not the government, not anyone else. So, don't do this. He says to Adam, don't do this. Don't do this or else. But there's no penalty until the command is given. Don't do that. You know, kind of like broccoli. We all know broccoli is nasty. And you can eat it and eat it and eat it and eat it. But once God says to you, broccoli is nasty, don't eat it. Now there's going to be consequences. Because he's told you, don't eat this vile weed. What's everyone laughing at for? You know, that should be in the Bible. Don't do this or else. Now, Paul's going to say later on in the book of Romans, he's going to say, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, you see, once God said, up, once God said, don't do that. You were fine until that, and that wasn't going to be held against you until that. He said, sin is not imputed until God says, don't do that. Once he says it, then if you do it, I mean, look at Adam. That's your go-to man to see what that, A, it's God's universe, B, look at what happens if you go against what he says. Don't do that. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived like the mummy, and I died. Romans 7, 9. Now the Bible's telling you this morning that you have inherited the sin nature from Adam. I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but it is what it is. It's the truth. So let's first look at some more of the problem, and then the Apostle Paul will present to us the solution.
First, let's look at the problem. Then we'll look at the solution from there. Verse 14, Romans 5:14. He says, nevertheless, meaning it is what it is. Sorry, I can't change that, but it is what it is. Nevertheless, when he throws that out there, it is what it is. There's no change. Since that's truth, we're going to move on from this truth. What are we going to do? Nevertheless. You might not like it, but nevertheless. Nevertheless, death reigned. That's the Greek word basileus. It's the word for king. Like a name for Jesus. Basileus Basileion. King of kings. Here, look who's king here. Death. Therefore, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Now remember, there's no law between Adam and Moses. There's no Ten Commandments. There's no law. But death still reigned. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the trespass of Adam, who was a type of him who was to come. And until he appears on the scene, death reigns as king, right? Death. Death and taxes, right? It's appointed unto man wants to die, the Bible says. Then the judgment. Death reigns as king from Adam to Moses and to everyone thereafter. Then he adds that death sits as king even over innocent bystanders. Verse 14. See that? It says, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the trespass of Adam. So there's no avoiding it. People die in this world. But praise God, that's not the end of the story. Jesus says this. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. All right, now listen to his plan now. He's got a plan now on how to beat sin, on how to beat death. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Then he says, do you believe this? Now, there's a truckload of good news right there, isn't it? First of all, death might be inevitable, but praise God, it's not the end. Jesus declares, I am the resurrection. Oh, you might die, just about everyone has up until this point, but death's not the end. Then Jesus makes the comment, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That would be those who are alive when he returns, I would imagine. Well, I know. I don't imagine it. I might dream about it. That's the number one thing on my bucket list. What do I want to do before I die? Not die. But I'm not dreaming. A and B, that's not far-fetched. That's going to happen to the generation that's alive when he comes back. Are you willing to believe this morning that you can go on living even after you die? Then Martha, this Martha, not this Martha, responds with the correct answer, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. So, yes, Lord, I believe. That's all that's required of you this morning. Is this time, you know, this old saying is, don't be a Martha. This time the saying is, be a Martha. I believe. That's it. That's all that's required of you. Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe you're the Messiah. I believe you're the Son of God. All right, now we could just stop here right now and call it a day. But let's continue. Let's go back here. Now, starting in verse 15, the Apostle Paul is going to revert to his favorite style of teaching. He's going to compare two things side by side. This is how he teaches. Adam and the Lord Jesus. One man's offense and another man's free gift. He always teaches this way. Law and grace. Here it's one man's offense, one man's free gift. Adam and Jesus. Adam and Jesus. He's going to compare the two. Look, Adam brought death into the human race. That's by one man's offense. God said, don't do that. Verse 15. But the free gift is not like the offense. All right, here we go. Side by side. The free gift, which is what? The offer of salvation that's been extended to you personally. Do this, and live is the free gift. Costs you nothing. It cost him his blood and his very life. Do this and live. And not only that, but if you're part of the blessed generation that's going to be alive when he returns, then you will never die. Those who live and believe in me will never die. That's the free gift. Receive Christ, live forever. Free and absolutely costs you nothing. And the offense, don't do that or die. That's the offense. It's the offense that trillions are still dying from. Even today, every man, woman, many children that are in St. Jude's Hospital, unfortunately, there are consequences to pay when we go against God. Children, they're innocent bystanders. They haven't done anything wrong. But he says, nevertheless, it is what it is. What's God's plan? The plan is to call on the name of Jesus. That's your only hope. Death passed from Adam to Moses, even over innocent bystanders. So look around. Death's in the world. What's the plan? The plan is to embrace the Son of God. And he says, even though you might die, you shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me, he says, you won't ever die. The blessed generation, like the generation of all of these children that are in here, I'd be willing to bet you any amount of money that you want to bet. You come into my office and bet. Only problem is you won't be around to see it, probably. If it happens in their generation, then that will be the terminal generation. That'll see the return of Jesus Christ. All of you guys here with young kids that are here today, personally, if you ask my opinion, I don't think your children are going to die. Caitlin, and you guys back there, you guys, I don't think your children are going to die. Because I look around here in this world, man, oh man, Jesus is coming back soon. I would venture to say, maybe they said that in the year 1000 as well, and in the year 2000 as well. But this whole world can't continue like this much longer. It needs an intervention. And those that live and believe in me will never die, he says. So, there are the consequences to pay when we go against God. And as we see and as we know from our own lives, our sins affect other people. And, unfortunately, like Adam's, other people's sins affect us as well. And that's why that word nevertheless is there. Nevertheless. I mean, I wish we could change that, but God is serious about sin, right? I mean, isn't that the one thing we ought to take out of that? God is serious about sin, and he means what he says, right? So when he throws a life preserver out there, his life preserver is Jesus. Do this and live, he says. Look to me, he says. All right, now back to verse 15. For if by one man, or he's comparing the two. For if by one man's offense, it's Adam. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And that gift was this, is the Lord Jesus Christ has personally offered to take your sins and to take your penalty upon himself, and in exchange for your sins, he will give you his righteousness. A one-for-one swap, let's call it. Your sins for his righteousness. What thinkest thou, church? Anyone else interested in that today? He's offering to give you his righteousness, God's righteousness, in exchange for your sins. I mean, your chances are either one of two. Either you say, yes, Lord, I received that, or the other alternative is you're upset that God loves you this morning. There's no option three. You embrace that and say, yes, Lord. I think I certainly would love you having amnesia with my sins and forgetting them forevermore, writing my name in the book of life, giving me peace, exchanging my sins for your greatness. Where do I sign? The charge over all humanity is that God loves you. Do with that as you will. A one-for-one swap. And where grace comes in is that Almighty God would even make this available to you. You know, you heard of companies offering a stock buyback program. Well, God offers to you a sin buyback program. He'll buy back all of the penalties for your sin in exchange for his righteousness. It's a one-for-one swap. Right here and now, right here on this Sunday morning. Your sins for his greatness. Your sins for his greatness. Count me in, how about you? I'll take that exchange any day of the week. You can have all my sins, and I will humbly receive your greatness.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.